Well, I think we're ready to begin the Word. There's a number of things that the Lord's put on my heart, and I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit that I'll share what needs to come this morning. Not necessarily everything. I know that's your prayer too. But this morning I want to talk about the prophetic level. I think it's very misunderstood in the church. There's a lot of Christians that don't even believe there's prophets today. And of course, when we talk about the prophetic, not everyone is called to the office of prophet. We're all encouraged to prophesy. But what the prophetic realm is that place in the spirit where our spiritual eyes are open. We see as God sees. It's the realm where His Spirit can do what He wants done through our lives. So I think it's very, very important as we are growing today and seeking the Lord as to what He's doing, to be a part of it, we need to make more room in our lives for the prophetic level. Let's look at this real quick. We want to look at the purpose of the prophetic. We're going to look at the Old and New Testament. A lot of people have trouble when you talk about prophets because they think of Old Testament prophets. In the Old Testament, the prophets were there for a certain purpose. What they were all about was basically bringing the people to a point of recognition that they needed a Savior. That's why you get a lot of prophecies of judgment. The Israelites had the law, they couldn't follow the law, they would sin, and the prophets would speak God's judgment because of the sin. Mixed in with that is prophetic words about the coming Messiah, but everything about the prophetic ministry of the Old Covenant was pointing to Jesus. He came, He fulfilled the role as Savior, our Savior. And the Scripture says that He fulfilled the law and the prophets. So when we look at the prophetic ministry, we shouldn't be looking at Old Testament, Old Covenant prophets in the way they did things. Everything changed because He fulfilled that. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. What does it mean to be moving in the prophetic in New Covenant life? Oops. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions, in many ways, this is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He has made the world. He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. Okay. The prophetic level in New Covenant is in Christ. It's all about the expression of who Jesus Christ is now. And who is Jesus? The exact representation of the Father. So when the prophetic level is released into our lives, what people are seeing, it's not doom and gloom prophecies and they're not putting us on pedestals. What they're seeing is who the Lord is. And when people see the Lord, they're seeing who the Father is. The prophetic level needs to be established in the people of God so that the Father can be freely seen and freely moved through His body. We need to make room for the prophetic. We need to create a greater space in our human experience, in our lives, for that level. I will turn here. You don't have to, but 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read a story to you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. There came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber. Let us set a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. And it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he called to Gehazi, his servant, called the Shunammite, and when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you?" Here's a woman, a prominent woman, that recognizes something special happening when Elisha's coming through. She creates a space for him to stay. And when that happens, he turns and says, "Okay, what can I do for you?" How is this prophetic level going to be turned loose where God can do his will in the earth for people? I think there has to be a space created in our hearts and lives, a room where we welcome the prophetic and say, "You can live and abide in me." And as we do that, then we're going to see the doing of God come through the prophetic word in the earth. When we talk about the prophetic level, I think it's twofold, and I'm going to spend a little time with both. One is foretelling, predicting. Now, we all probably have problems with that if you've been around a while. Quote, unquote, prophets out there always predicting, and of course, it's always this doom and gloom. Every time there's a disaster, you just get these zillions of just so-called prophetic words of what it means and what's going to happen. If you've been around a while, you notice a lot of those don't come to pass. And we can become kind of jaded to that, saying, "Oh, I've just heard this too much. I don't want to hear anymore." There is a problem of inaccuracy, and let me talk about that, because if someone is inaccurate with their prophecy, it does not make them a false prophet. In Acts 16, do you remember the woman that was following Paul? She was saying, "Listen to this man." She was saying all the right things. "People, listen. God's here." Paul turns around her and he casts the spirit out of her. Now, she was saying the right things, but it was coming from the wrong place. When we talk about false ministries, I think that's where it's connected. People can make mistakes and it doesn't make them false. And especially in this level of the prophetic, there's a lot of learning. I think part of the problem today is there's not enough a revelation of God's goodness and God's heart and intent. So we live in an age where our minds are shaped by all the negativity. And there's a lot of negative things happening. So people are trying to interpret that, and I think that gets in the way of really hearing what God is speaking. So yes, there are mistakes. Y2K, we can think about that for a minute. You know, oh, when that happens, that people are prophesying this and that. I don't know about you, but that day happened. I looked around, it seemed like any other day. And all of a sudden, you don't hear those words anymore. We had a real problem today of accountability, especially with the internet. You can get on and say anything you want. Now, what is our responsibility? To say, because there's people out there saying things that are wrong, I'm not going to listen for prophetic words that are predicting things? No. The problem with God's people is we haven't taken responsibility to discern. And when someone speaks a word predicting the future, instead of just dismissing it, we need to look to the Holy Spirit as our teacher and say, "Is that word from you?" We need to take responsibility for that. You know, the reason this is important is sometimes God will speak a word foretelling the future that's going to affect us, and we're going to need to be prepared. Old Testament, through a dream, God moved prophetically and said there's going to be a famine in Egypt. What would have happened if everybody would have said, "Well, we'll just see if it comes to pass. You know, I've been disappointed before." Well, when it came to pass, it'd be too late because the people had to store food in preparation. Jesus spoke. You can read about this later. Luke 19, Mark 13, Luke 21. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. Remember that? When did he speak those words? AD 32, 33? Do you remember when those words were fulfilled? AD 70. Titus, the Roman general, came in and just destroyed everything. Why was that important? Jesus warned people to flee to the hills when those things were happening. And so the believers that believed that word and remembered that word weren't in Jerusalem to be destroyed when that event took place. So we need to hear words. If God's going to be speaking to us about the future, I want to hear and pay attention to a true word, because it may require preparation on my part that I need to make. Okay, that's one aspect of the prophetic. A more important aspect to me is the prophetic word that creates. And this is something I think we're all called to. It's not about tomorrow. It's about God speaking now. He says, I am that I am, in the present, the word of God coming and actually creating what it's speaking about. Ezekiel chapter 37, please. You know the story of the vision of the dry bones? I think this perfectly brings this point out. Ezekiel 37:10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The book of Isaiah is rich in imagery about God creating rivers in the wilderness. I think one passage says, where there was a mirage, there'll be a pool of water. You know, it's in the heart of the Father to do the impossible. And this is a ministry of the prophetic that we're all, I believe, called to be a part of. The reality of heaven being created in earth. Where there's a wilderness, it becomes a fertile grounds, fertile plain. How does that happen? It's when the word of God is released and it creates what was not there before. Now, I don't know about you, but if you look at a bunch of dry bones, you're not thinking life, right? In the natural, we've been conditioned a certain way. A skeleton means no life here. Yet God looks at a skeleton and says, speak to it. And when we speak according to God's command, the breath of God comes through those words and life is created. This is our role in the earth today. Not to speak our own words. And here's the real key with this. We've got to be on the same page with God. This is not a matter of saying, okay, all the things I want done, I'm just going to call on God and have that creative word make them happen. If we're imprisoned by our own selfishness and our own needs, we're not going to break into this prophetic level. This centers around what's in God's heart. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. There is a relationship with God that we all have as children to our Father that's need-based. We're all human. We all have problems in this room. If someone doesn't have a problem, you don't have to listen for the next 3 or 4 minutes. We all have challenges. And we relate to God saying, Father, I need you to help me. Like Peter drowning, help me. There's nothing wrong with this. God is so compassionate. He loves us so much. He's going to help us. He's going to bless us. The problem comes when this is all that we have in relationship to the Father. If that's all we see. Because it's denying us this prophetic level of breaking into an awareness of what's in God's heart to be released. When we talk about the prophetic and speak in the creative word, something has changed within us where we are hearing what is important to God. We get beyond this veil of our own needs and our own problems and just being self-absorbed, and all of a sudden we're aware of God's heartbeat, his thoughts, what he wants to release. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then as the Father speaks, that's where the breath of life comes in to create. Now look at this scripture. I know you've read it before. Isaiah 45:9. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands? Here is the wall of resistance we build to the prophetic. We do that. We say to God, what are you doing? Maybe not in those words. You know, at this point in my life, I don't have that much problem relating to myself as a lump of clay. Earlier years, I would have. But you know, you go on longer in life, you realize that's all that any of us are. Whatever you think you've accomplished, You know, really, you know, the world becomes less impressive the older you get, I think. It's kind of like, you know what, it's not all that important. Yeah, we're lumps of clay. I can accept that. And I can accept God molding my clay. I have one stipulation. God, you need to mold it the way I see it. I get it right up to that point. But see, God molds us according to what he sees. Now, how he sees David, me, is not how I see me. So here is the wall of resistance. Am I going to tell the potter, hey, I don't like what I'm seeing in the mirror here. I don't like the way this is being shaped. Or am I going to say, not my will, but thine be done. Be it unto me according to your word. How did Mary feel when she had the visitation from the angel? Behold, Son of God, the Messiah is coming through you. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I'm going to be pregnant with a child. I'm not married. You know, she saw that clay being molded. I'm sure she had a moment to say, I don't know about this. This is my destiny. Can I trade this for some other destiny? You know, that's kind of a hard thing to go through. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Looked at God and said, you know what? I don't think I like the way this clay is being molded, what I'm looking at right now, but go ahead. Do what you want to do. That's the heart that moves in the prophetic. When he can mold us, then he can speak through us, and the breath of life comes through our words. It's not our agenda getting in the way. We've said yes to God's agenda. That wall of resistance of, yes, you can mold me as long as I like the way it's going, that wall comes down. And it's scary and it's hard. I don't know about you. I don't find it an easy process to say yes to God. I can say yes, you know, yes, Lord, thy will be done. But when my clay is being shifted, that yes comes out of a lot of pain, a lot of heartbreak. Another problem we have with a wall of resistance, I think, is when God speaks, we really don't know how to respond. Here's how God moves. What he says, he creates. We're still in this old covenant way of thinking. God's speaking. Here come the tablets of stone. Here's what he wants. I got to do it. I got to try hard, try harder. We get in this vicious cycle of striving. And of course, where does that lead? What was the whole point of the law being given? The law could not make anyone perfect. It was to let the people know, you need a Savior. You can't do this. The law was to lead us to Christ, the reality that we need God's grace. But we're still in that mode of thinking when we relate to God speaking. God speaks, and all of a sudden, it's not the grace of God anymore. I've got to do this thing. Yes, Lord, I've heard your word. Now, I've got to make it happen. When God speaks, he creates. The very word he speaks to your heart, that word is creative. God has to bring it to pass. Our discipline to obey can resist the grace to become. Anything wrong with discipline? No. Anything wrong with obedience? No. But when we are doing it in that independent sense of false sense of self, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to obey the word. There's a wall of resistance to God himself and to the grace he's provided. Turn with me to Philippians 2:13. Here's how the word of God works in our lives. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So the Father speaks. Let's let that wall of resistance come down. God, whatever you've told me to do, I acknowledge I can't do it. It may sound funny. Oh, I'm not being obedient. No, That's the first step to obedience. Realize your limitations. A supernatural word cannot be accomplished through natural talents. So, Lord, I just open my heart to your love. I open my heart to what you've spoken. When God speaks a word to your heart, he's at work in you to fulfill that word for his good pleasure. Grace is released. Now, why is this important with the prophetic? Because the prophetic is not us declaring things and saying, God, you need to do this, you need to do that. The prophetic is being an instrument and channel for the Father to speak to us and through us. And as his word comes into us, it's not what we want. He's saying, here's what I'm doing. And we say, we get out of the way and say, okay, create. Your word has the breath of life. Your word is creative. I'm going to be an open channel for that to happen. What happens in that? Heaven is able to manifest on earth. The supernatural is able to be displayed in the natural. Because that wall of resistance is down. Who is God speaking to about this? Is it for a few prophets to move in this? I don't get that feel, do you? We've put that limitation on. Well, that's for somebody else that hears God. Oh my goodness, that's some special thing. Where does the Father reside? Does he reside in the fivefold ministries only? He resides in every believer. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Now, is he in my heart to speak to me, but in your heart to keep quiet and be numb? No, the Father delights in speaking to us. He loves us. You're in love with someone, and when you love someone, do you want to be quiet all the time around them? No, there's a joy in sharing and communicating. Sometimes it's not verbal. And sometimes when God speaks to us, it doesn't have to be verbal. But it's that openness to that communication, that flow from his heart to ours. In that atmosphere of a father speaking to his son and to his daughter, that's the power of the prophetic level being released in the earth. Amen. Well, you know what? I'm halfway through and I'm going to stop here. We'll take up part two next week. But Lord, bless the word to our hearts.